Hey friends, we're glad you're still with us here on Microsoft Virtual Academy as we do our intro to ASP.NET Core. We're learning all about Razor Pages and our application. This module will be a little longer.
Yes, it will.
And it will probably have us making some mistakes together, and that's okay. And we're going to try not to hide anything from you.
Yeah.
We are following the documentation, as we hope you are, and maybe you can follow along, pause, try stuff out, and maybe Google with Bing if you have trouble and get stuck.
Yeah, and we'll have links to the documentation right underneath this recording.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to try to make a CRUD page. What is CRUD?
Create, read, update, delete.
All right, so a CRUD application maps verbs from CRUD into verbs that we're used to using, like a get is a get, so that'd be like a read.
Yeah.
And if you're going to create something, it'd be a post. So you'd fill out a form, you'd hit submit, and it would post the data. That's a create.
Yeah.
Then you can maybe read it back and look at an edit page, or then maybe delete it. So if we succeed, we'll have a simple form, maybe create some customers, put them in a fake database.
Yep.
And we'll be okay.
Yep, and we'll be learning more about databases in the intermediate course as well.
Yes, we'll have a whole section on databases. So for now, we're going to be doing it in an in-memory database.
Yes.
Okay, so let's do the best we can. We're going to use the same web application one that we created before. We saw in the previous modules where we added MVC, but of course, all of that stuff was added for us because we went File New Project.
Yes.
And we picked web application. All right? So here, in configure services, we've got add MVC, but we're going to make our little in-memory database here. We're going to say services.addDBContext or add database context.
And give it a name.
And we're going to create a thing called the appDBContext. We can name it whatever we want to. We haven't written this yet, but we will. I'm going to hit control dot, and it's saying, hey, do you need an appDBContext? Do you want to go and generate one of those? I'm going to go ahead and say yes. So it's gone and done that, and we'll deal with that in a minute. Again, I will very likely make mistakes, so you'll bear with me, I hope. I opened up the parentheses there, and I'm going to pass in some options. And the options I'm going to pass in for my database context are going to be options dot
use memory.
Use
in
memory database?
Yes, but the reason why that's not showing that perfect,
we so need to add. Why is that not showing up?
So we need to add the entity framework. So we need to use.
I probably should have added that first, and I would have gotten IntelliSense.
True.
Let's try that. If we go back up to the top, so we add entity framework core beforehand.
Yep.
Look, you see how. See that little arrow there that's pointing down?
Yeah.
That means that this method came in, was included by the fact that we just did that using.
Okay.
That's called an extension method. It's along for the ride. And it actually says extension. That wasn't there seconds ago.
No,
was
it wasn't.
Yeah. Add in memory database, you know, some name.
Yeah.
All right. And then we look at the squiggle and we worry, does the squiggle mean something? So here it's saying appDBContext. Well, we never really went and did anything with that appDBContext.
No.
Let's go over there and fix it. I'm going to right-click and say go to definition. And let's work on our database context. This is kind of standard stuff, so don't worry about it too much. But basically, this is representing the database. I'm hitting control dot there. And I'll say make it an appDBContext. This is a constructor, right?
Yep.
Okay. And we're going to take in some options. Context options. Oops. Optunes.
Yeah, options.
Options. Pass up to the base class those options. I'm going to put that. When I'm trying to zoom and make it helpful for you, I end up making it worse for myself.
Well, at least you have other people in mind.
I do. And then
I'm presuming you have to set it of some sort.
Okay. We're going to have a set of, what do you say, customers?
Yes.
So we have a set of customer. Customer does not exist yet. That's why it's squiggled out. And then we do the getter setter.
Yeah.
Get set. Okay. Customer is squiggled out. The type or namespace customer could not be found. Well, that's true because we haven't made one yet.
No.
We've not made it up. I could type control dot, but I'm going to click show potential fixes. This is kind of interesting. Here it's saying, well, I could go and make a customer for you.
Yeah.
But look at this here. It's suggesting other packages that have the word customer or the name customer in it. So these are other NuGet packages, packages up in the world. Yeah, isn't that cool?
That's pretty cool. But okay, there is a package out there that has
the word customer
in
now,
it.
Now, I don't want those. But if I was doing something with JSON or doing something with some, you know, some technology that I knew I would need the NuGet package later, it would go get it for me. So I'm going to say generate in new file. That seems reasonable.
It does.
All right. So I just generated that. Now notice, it just appeared.
There it is.
And now I'm going to right click and say go to definition. It is worth pointing out that I could also right click and say peak definition.
And could you write in there?
I could. I think that would be a little weird.
But,
but then I can click on this little tab right here, promote to document, and now I've jumped into that document. So I can peak, and then if I type a little bit, I was like, eh, this is tiresome, and I could jump even higher out.
That's pretty smooth.
It is pretty smooth. All right, I'll show you another smooth tip.
Oh, I know it.
You want to suggest, please?
What, the tab thing?
Yes, ready?
Okay.
Prop.
Tab. Yep.
Int tab ID enter prop tab string enter tab name right. How cool is that?
it's cool, and I always forget to use it.
You got to use it.
I always
there's
forget
so
to use it, and it's awesome.
Here.
So
there's also prop full.
Ooh, what does that do?
That gives you a backing variable. There's prop A, which I don't know what it does, but it's crazy. There's there's prop G for a getter with a private setter.
Okay.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. It's great.
Have you done a blog post on all the property?
There's a bunch of snippets. I could go all day.
Okay.
But I'm just going to use prop for now.
Okay.
So this is customer. So customers have an ID, a unique ID, and they have a name.
And they could probably have an email. They could have all these things. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll start with name for now, but should name have some constraints?
It should. And we have the idea of data annotation.
Mm-hmm. There's so annotation on that data, yes.
So one of the things is that you probably want someone to enter their name, right?
We want to force them, really.
We want to force them. So we want to make sure it's some sort of required, right?
So required, and I'm putting it as an annotation here, and I'm going to hit control dot again. When you learn that these things exist and you're thinking about them, rather than typing in all this stuff for the using, you're just going to type required.
Yeah.
Hit control dot and then hit enter. Line one just appeared there. And then we'll force the length as well. Let's say a length of, we'll be silly for a moment, we'll say a length of 10.
Okay.
That's not a very good length.
That is not a good length to go.
But that might allow us to do some validation later.
Okay.
And then we'll change it to a longer length. All right, so let's back up for a second and see what we did here. So we have in our startup an in-memory database,
yeah.
Not a SQL server or a whatever, just an in-memory database. We have a beginnings of a customer, unique ID and a name, some annotations on it, and then a little class here that's kind of empty that is our list of customer. And actually where it says customer singular here,
yeah.
That should be customers.
Okay, because
this is
a set
of customers.
All right. So the one thing, how are we going to see this information?
Well, we're going to need to probably put some in the database, and then once we have them in the database, list them out.
Oh, I mean, like, how are we going to visually see it? We have to have some.
So there's a bit of a chicken and the egg problem there. Like, do we make the listing page first and list them out, but we really can't because we don't have any?
You don't have anything, yeah.
Or we make a create page first. So it's CRUD.
Yeah.
We'll do the C first. Okay? So over in
the pages folder?
Pages. Let's do create. Now, we're not going to say new file like we did before.
No, you're going to create a new Razor page, or if you go to new file.
Oh, let me do that again.
Okay.
Right click, add. So I could two choices. I have new
and then,
Razor page, or I can say item.
Yeah, new item. And they should be the option to pick Razor page.
Right, so you've got a couple different options here. And this is all the different things that you could make. I'm going to go and right click and say add Razor page.
Yeah.
And I'm going to point out that I'm not going to do it for this because it'd be a little bit cheating, but after we're all done,
yeah.
First we make you suffer.
And then we show you the easy
way. We could create that model and then say Razor Pages using Entity Framework CRUD, and it would then scaffold or generate
every single
all the hard parts that we're about to do.
But it's more
fun
to
do it. No, no, it's more fun to do it ourselves. Don't you think?
All right.
All right, let's do it ourselves.
Yeah.
People can fast forward if they don't like it.
So the page name would be create.
Uh-huh. And then we're going to use a layout.
Exactly.
Right? We saw that. And then here it says generate page model. That's that code behind or that page model. We could say no and then do that inline if we wanted to. All right, so let's see if that works. So it's thinking. We're going to watch on the right-hand side here as create should appear.
And it's taking a while because it's doing quite a bit of scaffolding
well,
for you,
Well, it's scaffolding
right?
out some work for us, but it's also going to build the application to see if it still builds. And if it's running a scaffolder, and scaffolders are something that you can go and read about and write your own if you feel like it. So here we got a create.
So let's see what we have in
let's
there.
Let's see, it gave us a page. It gave us a default model.
Okay.
A title, looks like a header, and then some validation scripts, and then presumably we can just start typing our pages or
okay.
whatever, okay? Let's look at the back end. It made a create model that has a get. So this is the function that happens when we get stuff.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to need to make a form. Cool?
All right. So a form that would have actually just one entry.
Yep. So we'll say enter your name figure. Right?
Yeah.
And who knows if this will work. Again, we're going to learn. Now, this is interesting. Notice that when I type form.
Where is it in purple? It
turns purple. So that is a tag helper. This is some related elements that are going to be on the server for processing. So the server knows about purple
yeah.
elements and will do some processing of them. Typically, when you're in HTML, you have like a p tag or an image tag
yeah.
or div. And that's just strings that get sent off to the client. But when we're generating this stuff on the server side, there might be an opportunity for ASP.NET Core to improve it, to change
okay.
it, to add stuff. So it knows about form. Form is a magic tag. And we can go and type things like this. You see it says ASP colon.
Yeah. So is that indication of that is a tag helper with some sort of
right.
action?
These okay. things aren't HTML.
No.
Those are tag helpers. You'll never see ASP hyphen something being sent all the way out to the browser. These are not HTML. They're
so if,
hints to the server.
So if when we run this application and we go into the F12 tools, mm-hmm. we will not see?
You shouldn't see those.
Okay.
Exactly. So we're going to say form, this is going to be basic, method equals a, yeah, see, get,
okay.
post, put, delete. We'll say post, so we're going to go in post, here's the end of our form. Say div, name, and then we'll need a text box.
Yep, so some sort of input tag.
Yep, mm-hmm. input. Now this is interesting. We could do an input tag the way we usually do, or we could say ASP.NET 4.
Okay.
And we're going to say customer.name.
Okay.
See how it's all purple. That ASP4 is going to look at that model. Okay? Now it's saying here, I don't know what a customer is. What's going on with that? It's never heard of customer before. We'll come back and fix that in a second.
Okay.
Then we'll have an input for submitting that form. Okay? But we have a problem here where it doesn't know what customer is. What is the model for this page? Right? It's
the create
model. So let's go look at that.
Peek into definition? Okay.
I want to point out how I'm moving around. I'm right-clicking and saying go to definition. There's also a hotkey for that. So this is an important reminder just as a programmer. You don't want to necessarily find yourself going over and looking around all the files all the time. You can navigate
to it,
you know,
right?
to it directly. You can navigate logically, as they say. Okay? All right.
Did you... You cut something out from...
Yeah.
Okay.
Create.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, cut out create model.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right. So our create model is going to need to know about customers because that's going to show up on the page. So public customer, that's a type. That's a name. You can
yeah.
tell by their color. It's a little confusing, but the property is called customer and the type is called customer. Okay. And this is going to need that database.
So
context. So we're going to make a little database here.
And this is a good, just being the voice of the person who's watching this at home. Why have you made it private read-only?
So that's a great point. So I don't want people who get a hold of Create Model to be poking around and talking directly to the database. So it's going to be private, just for me, where me is Create Model. And it's read-only, which means I'm going to assign it once, and I don't want anyone to touch it after that.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm making it just for me, and I'm making sure I can't mess with it afterwards. Excellent, excellent question. So then we'll make our...
Create Model?
Our constructor. Mm-hmm. And remember how dependency injection works. We don't make an AppDB context. We ask for one. We ask for it by putting it in our constructor. And we can have as many of these as we want. We can have foo and bar and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is the one we want for now.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to say, hey, this one equals that one. I'm going to squirrel it away and hang on to it. So now I've got one. Okay. So that says there's this database and I want to know about it. This says there's a customer. If I go back over to create, I can hover over that and see it's getting me probably IntelliSense too. Yep, see?
Yeah, it is.
So it knows about customer because it's hanging off of the model.
So as we're running the application, technically, mm-hmm. I should be able to go to this page, hover over customer name, and see what names we put in there?
You should be able to click on that. You should be able to have IntelliSense.
Yep.
If you did a breakpoint, you should be able to stop in here at some point and look at that, and we'll do that in a little bit. What we need to, though, is we need to bind this form. We're saying this input for customer name. When I hit submit, we need to catch it on the server side.
I call it surviving the journey.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. It does need to survive the journey. So I'm going to get rid of this on get here. So we're going to do a post. You can say on post. You could do it like this, but the right way to do it is like this.
Async?
Async, which means don't block. And we're going to have a task that returns some action. We're going to, you know, we might be doing something after this, and I'm going to say on post async. And it's giving me a little complaint here saying, you didn't do any await, and you haven't returned a value. Code paths, not all code paths return a value.
Okay.
That's because we haven't done anything yet. So when someone posts back, they hit submit, and it posts back to here, we would really like customer to have stuff in it.
Yes.
And so there's a couple things here. And then we need to make sure that the state of that model is valid, that someone hasn't mm-hmm. messed with it. So I'm going to say if model state is valid, or if it's not, pardon me.
I was about to say something.
I appreciate that. Then return the page back to itself to say, I'm done. If I hover over page, you can see it returns a page result, which is a kind of action. Returning a page is an action. If we get that this far, now I'm going to say DB. Remember when I say DB?
Yes.
What is DB? It is a application DB context.
Yep.
In there is customers, plural.
And we want to add one.
Dot add. We'll pass in the customer that we just got handed.
Okay.
And then we'll say, hang out for a minute, await. And we'll say DB, save changes. And async means don't wait. Then we will go and return, not a page, because we're on the create page. We really want to return to the list.
Yep. So you're doing a redirect?
We're going to do a redirect, exactly. And we haven't actually got a place to go yet, but we'll say redirect to page.
Okay.
And you can see that there's options like redirect to page permanent, which would be a 301, HTTP 301. We're going to do a 302 because this is just a standard kind of a redirect. We'll just say slash index. And I think we should probably just say like slash but we'll see what happens.
If people wanted to learn more about 301s, 302s, do you have any recommendations?
The internet.
Correct.
Yes. I would search around for that kind of stuff. Ultimately, look at the docs.
Yeah.
But like redirect to page is a standard thing. And again, if you hover over it, it says right there, status 302 found. But if I said redirect to page permanent,
would change it?
Change it to a 301,
okay,
which would tell the search engine, don't ever come back here and ask me about this again. Don't ever talk to me again. Go here.
All right.
That's what that means. I'm paranoid, so anyway, you never want to do that when you're doing database work. You always want to be temporary. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And if you really, really, really want to like upset your coworkers, you could move your curly braces.
Yeah.
And do stuff like this. And if you really want to be possibly buggy, you could even do stuff like this, where that's all one line.
Yeah.
But you know, you might have other stuff
that
you want
to
do.
Add. Okay.
Some people that really bothers them, some people it doesn't. For me,
does it bother you?
I kind of like it on one line if it's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Because it's just but as soon as you have an extra line, then you're going to go and undo it and take it apart.
Yeah, so it's not really a best practice for someone to know right now.
No. For right now, I just think it's nice to have everything fit on one line like that. But using the curly mustaches, curly braces, they look like a mustache if you turn your head, that's a best practice.
It still gets into when people say curly braces, and I don't know what they're talking about because I use brackets.
You call them brackets?
So you have brackets, curly brackets, square brackets. So.
Oh, scandalous. Okay.
You mean fancy.
That is pretty intense.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to put a breakpoint here.
Okay.
And we'll see if this works.
All right.
It might very well not work.
Fingers crossed and toes.
No, it's probably not going to work. Lower your expectations now. All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And this is in create, right? So I have to hit slash create.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Did we bind it?
Yeah, see what's happening? Nothing.
No.
Now if we go and do a view source.
And you go to, okay.
I just want to show the people the form first. Some things showed up on the input that's kind of cool. That's kind of nice.
That is.
We didn't type that, right, remember? So we're getting stuff on the input that we did not expect, which is cool.
And then there's some request
verification. Yeah, the request verification token to keep people from tampering with our stuff. There's your name, customer.name, and it generated an ID for us as well. But you can see that nothing's happening. On customer, actually, I'm going to put a breakpoint a little higher up, and then I'll explain to you what's going on.
Okay.
Let's see if we can even get to the post. Okay. Do a debug session again. Slash create. So I would have expected
to hit that breakpoint.
So that's concerning. But I know that I need to say bind property on the customer, which is to tell it I want this customer object filled out with the form information, right?
Yeah.
And right now I don't have that. So let's take a look and try this again. The customer is going to get created and filled up with information bound to those form fields. If that doesn't work, then I've forgotten something, and we will go and have a little debugging, which will be fun as well. They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So let's take a look. It's probably something obvious. So we've got a form, we've got our input, we've got our method. I said post. Does it matter if it's all caps? That would be odd if it did.
So it doesn't matter.
The tag helper exists already in view imports. The form is there. The only thing I didn't add is the validation summary. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so I'm putting in a long name, Fancy Pants, and nothing's happening.
No.
No? And I'm realizing that I've got my form with my input for customer name, but I put my validation summary outside the form.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to put it inside the form because it's validating the form, and then I'm going to hit refresh. Fancy Pants. See? And it says the field name must be a string with maximum length 10. I'm getting that that validation for free, right? And where did that 10 come from?
We set it in, yep, right there.
Set it right there. So maybe we'll change that to like 25 or something.
Some people have really long names. Like in my country, people have names that are 50. So maybe 100?
I'll make 49, and then that 150 person, they're going to suffer.
Oh, man.
Inclusion. But the point is, it's driven by
them.
By that, okay? And then one other thing.
So it would be the same if someone did entered something that wasn't an email, right?
Yeah, it could be an email. It could be, you could put in validation information however you want, and you could even put in custom regular expressions or even write your own custom validators. So they can be as sophisticated as you want.
Okay.
You could also, I believe, say, I want a span and say ASP validation for, and you could go and do field by field validation. Okay? So here I'm saying this is my summary of all the different things. This is a specific validation for customer name. Okay, let's see what that looks like. That might look a little different. So I'm gonna come back over here and hit refresh. Oops, I actually don't hit refresh. I need to run my app again because I stopped it. Okay. Run that again. Go to create. I think we made it really long this time, right? And I tab away and it says it must be a string with a maximum length of 49.
Okay.
Okay. But I like the main validation stuff, so we'll leave that like that. Okay? Now, let's go back to our breakpoints and run our debug this time and see if we can see the customer get bound.
Okay.
And we had looked in the F12 developer tools before. We could see what's happening on the wire. This is a good way to kind of just see what's happening as you do your posts.
So were you looking, so you went to developer tools and then network?
Yep, I went to .. developer tools, and we're under network.
Okay.
I will go and probably clear it out, and then we'll put in Maria. Okay.
Yep. There we go. So if you hover over that.
So we hover over customer. See? Because it's there, because customer has a name.
Yep.
Customer.name, and we named the field customer.name, and we told it, hey, bind, we want you to participate. You automatically showed up in there.
Okay.
And I can put a little pin there as well. If I was going to do lots of debugging sessions, and I can keep you there as a post-it note and watch customer name change
over time.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
We can go and see if the model state is valid. It is.
What is the green button? Oh, that's a play. Like okay.
Yeah, go to that point. Play up to that point, and then stop. So here, I'm going to go and add that customer to the database, save it to the database, which, of course, is an in-memory database. Mm-hmm. And then we'll redirect. Now, we had put in slash, but I'm not sure if that's going to work.
Should we see what the error page is, just in case?
Yeah, see?
Okay.
It says no page slash matches this value.
So you have to give the specific name.
I need to say
name.
Index, which was what our main page is here. So index. Okay. Now we'll confirm that that works. I can hit F5 to go and debug, or I can hit Control F5, which I like to do because it starts up a little faster if I know that I'm not going to do a debugging session.
But this time you hit F5?
I hit Control F5 to go faster. Okay, so it redirected me to index, but of course I haven't done anything on index that's interesting yet. Okay. That'll be the next part, right?
So you could also probably send a message saying...
I could say customer updated or whatever. But let's rip out this whole section here.
Okay, you're going to
and put a list of contacts.
Okay.
Is that cool? So where's our index? So this is all this carousel and all this stuff.
All the fancy bootstrap.
I'm going to actually go like this.
And then you comment it out?
Actually, no. I'm just going to be awesome and just like toss it.
Wow.
Yeah. But this is a way, if you want to go hunting for the other side of the div, you can just fold these up, see that this matches this, fold it up, select over it, and toss it. Cool. All right, so let's make our form. And this will be on the index page, right?
Yep.
We'll have method equals post. And this will be a table.
All right.
It's okay to use tables if it is a table of data. Let's see, so many people complain about tables being a bad idea, you know. I think that's kind of funny. It's a table. It's okay to have a table. So we'll have a head for our table, and we'll have our ID row.
Yep.
Oops. And we'll have ID. And we'll have name. We don't really need to show the database ID, but for now, we'll just show it.
All right.
Cool?
So do you have to create a Toyo people? Okay, yeah. You're way ahead of me.
No, it's okay. Table body. But now I need a row for each. So
would you put it in the row, or would you? So I'm presuming that you'd need to go for, like, for every contact within.
Exactly. So I'm going to have, like, a force. For something here,
yeah.
Then a couple of cells, table cells, and then maybe a, I don't know, like a link to edit and like a delete button.
Yeah.
Okay. You see how I'm kind of sketching it out?
You're sketching it out.
Okay.
What's it called? Pseudocode?
Pseudocode. It's a little pseudocode here. So now I'm going to say at.
For each, yeah.
And this is a snippet.
Yeah.
Tab, and then I'm gonna say for each contact, contact in what?
In model.
Now, where's our customers? Okay, so remember before when we were doing our create model, we needed to have the customers come from somewhere.
Yes.
Now we're in a totally different page.
Oh, yeah, so we have to have the customers.
We're going to have the customers, right? So I'm going to just take a break here, and I'm going to jump over to the index model, because we can't really make our table until we have a little bit more. Okay? And I'm going to break a couple of cardinal rules, and I'm going to copy-paste a little code, because I'm going to need this similar app database, this app DB context. So I'm just going to save myself a moment of time here. So we've got our app context, right? And we're going to have our index page model. Now before, when we create a customer, we create one customer.
Yeah.
But here, our model is different because we're going to have a list of customers on this page, right? So our model is different. And we'll do a get and then a private set so that only we can set it.
Okay.
All right. And then in the on get, we'll say on get.
One line below? Did you? On get sync? Okay.
On get async, right? We're going to load up customers. Where do we get them from? The database. Okay. And this is right there. We get them out of customers. And then there's this other little bit of thing that you can add on to make things a little bit faster. You can say, as no tracking. And I'll show you what that means in a second. And we're going to turn these customers into a list of customers. So we're chaining things together. We're saying, give me these customers. And we're not going to keep track of them changing. You see, it says, disabling change tracking is useful for read-only scenarios. Change tracking is watching, like keeping a track of all the different things you could change.
Yeah.
So that you know how to make a database update. So if I had a list of customers and I wanted to watch all of them and change their names, that would give the database system, Entity Framework, that we're going to learn about later, all the information it needs about how to only change the bits that change, how to only, you know, change the database. But we're just getting a list. So we're going to say, don't track these, just give me a list.
Okay.
So customers, no tracking, give me a list. So that's cool. And I think we'll leave that like that for now. We'll go back over to index. And now that model, the page behind us, has customers. Look, customer shows up, see?
Yeah.
Which is nice. So then I think I can put my TR in here. And I'm hoping, remember it says, oh, I said contact. I should say customer. Customer singular. For each customer, that means that the customer variable is now available to me. Customer dot, see?
Mm-hmm. Everything's connected.
Yep. Cool. Let's try that.
Okay.
And then we'll do the rest, because I don't know if this is going to work yet. Now, I'm using an in-memory database, so every time I run this, it's going to go away.
So it's just throwaway database, yeah.
I need to do better. I need to, you know, maybe make tests later. And
hey. I survived the journey.
You did. Let's see. But as soon as I shut you down, it's going to be gone.
So if you refresh the page?
No, you're here. You're still there, right? You're there. Yeah. You're there until I close it, until I close this browser. Or not if I close the browser, pardon me, until I stop the web server.
So, okay.
Yeah, thanks. Cool. So now we've got create. We should probably put a button down there at the bottom somewhere. We've got some validation. We've got our database. We can add our friends. And this is doing a thing called post redirect get. So I'm here. I hit a post, we do a redirect, and then we do a get, and then we would get this stuff here. So this is a PRG, post redirect get. There's lots of articles on the internet about that. Now, let's make a link to theoretically go and edit these things.
Okay.
And then we'll have a button for delete. These things don't exist on the back end yet.
So yeah, so we don't have an edit page yet.
We don't.
No. Okay.
We can make a link. Now, I could go and put in a link, href, you've done this before a million times, and say slash edit, and then like put in strings and stuff, but remember we talked about how great tag helpers are.
Yeah.
What if we went and said ASP page, and then we could go and say there was an edit page, and then it would figure out what the URL would look like.
Okay.
All right. And then it could even express the route a certain way. And we'll talk about routes in a minute. Route, I think it's route ID. And I think we called it customer ID. So it's going to take that customer's ID. So we want to basically make a page that looks like slash edit slash 2, slash edit slash 3, right? And that's the route ID that's going to get added on to that.
Okay.
Okay.
And so the next thing you had was a button.
Yeah, we'll do a button. Type equals submit. And this is going to be handled by the page.
Okay.
Button's going to be a little different. The reason that we're doing a button and an href is so that you can see the difference between a link and how links behave and buttons. Like a link is going to navigate somewhere.
Yep.
And a button's going to cause a post, right? So this will go and be handled by the delete handler. But we also need that route information. We need that ID. because we're going to delete a particular
customer.
So you
customer. Need the content ID. Yeah.
Customer ID, exactly. All right. And then none of this is hooked up.
So you mentioned something, voice of the people at home, about the button being a post.
Yes. It is going to post back, and then we're going to need to handle that behavior differently than the create page. So there, I just put a link at the bottom there for create. So I'm just going to hit refresh.
So let's see if the
create. So here's our create.
Okay.
That still works.
Okay.
If I hover over that, nothing's happening because we don't have an edit. Right? We never made an edit page. And if I hit delete,
you should.
It's going to crash because it's like, whoa, I don't know what you're doing. Right? It's just in the middle of something and it's confused because that's not what I asked it to do. Okay? So we've got some fixing up to do. Let's try delete first.
Okay.
All right. So let's go over here. We made an on get. Let's go and make an on delete.
Okay.
Same thing as before, an action result. Except now we're going to say on, and this is kind of weird, on post delete. The verb delete is a real HTTP verb.
Okay.
But it's not really often used from a browser's perspective. It's usually done as it's piggybacked on post. We use post to pass in basically all kinds of information. Whenever we hit submit on a form, we're posting that form. We're adding in, I think we said, page handler delete. So that is going to be here, on post delete. And now we're going to say, customer singular. And we'll go and get that customer out of the database. Before we delete it, we got to go and get it to make sure it's there. I say find by that ID that got passed in. So now we got to check to see if that customer is like null or not.
Yeah.
Because if it's null, then we don't even bother. If it's not null, do something. And then we can go and redirect.
To a page.
To a page, exactly. Thank you. So here, we're going to remove it from the database. And we're doing an in-memory database, but it doesn't matter. Because if it was a regular database, it would remove it for us as well. That's what's nice about Entity Framework. I'm not a very good typer. Customer. So we remove the customer, and then we go and we save those changes.
Okay.
And then I would expect it would then redirect to the page, the same page.
Yes.
And I would expect that it would disappear from that list because it's going to go back to the database and build the list again. Does that make sense?
It does.
I think that's what it will do. So we cross our fingers and hope that it works. And if it doesn't, we learn. Okay. That's not a good name. All right, we're deleting you.
Okay, I'm fine with that. It does work the way you
It does work. That's pretty cool. Fancy pants.
But now if we
edit. Though, it doesn't work because edit doesn't exist.
Edit is not there.
All right, so let's go and do edit then. So we'll do what you said before, add razor page, call it edit. Now I know you like routing. Routing is one of your favorite things about ASP.NET. So this edit page is going to be the first time that we've ever had a page that took in information.
Okay.
Where does that go? To pass in the ID.
So up there at page, right?
Right.
Quotes.
Quote.
Yeah, and curly brackets.
Okay.
ID.
Yeah.
Dot. I mean, some, yeah, int.
Okay, so the ID is of type int.
Yes.
That's the type hint. So this is saying edit /3.
So you'd see it in the browser, that's what it would look like.
Okay. We have our edit model. And then here at the top, we might have like edit. We could actually add a little bit of text here. We could say edit customer. And then we could say
dash model.
You know, @model.customer. But again, we're not getting IntelliSense. Why not? because the page model is different for each page.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's go look at the one for edit. So I'm going to...
You're going to take over, yeah.
Borrow again. Certainly, I could make another class, a base class, that would pull that AppDB context in, so I wouldn't have to keep copy-pasting that. Because at some point, the copy-pasting becomes tedious. And you know, you want to keep it dry, right? Don't
yeah.
repeat yourself.
We probably want that to survive the journey, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So we want to survive the journey with bind property. Okay. So we go back over to our page. And let's see if that worked. And it did. Isn't that nice?
Yes, it is.
So now we can say we are model.customer.id. So we can say, you know, edit customer 4 or whatever. And then a form, and then a form post. And there's some lots of cool ways to make your forms easier to write. If you find writing forms tedious, there is a really great way to write forms that is called Emmet.
What is Emmet?
You ever heard of Emmet? Emmet, E-M-M-E-T. It's like the name, the person's name, Emmet.
Okay.
And it's a way of describing what you want, like a, it would be like TRT, TRTD times 3, and then you'd hit tab, and it would go and expand it. It's a way to write tags for HTML really, really fast.
Is it built in?
It's built into to Visual Studio Code, but it is not built into Visual Studio yet.
Okay.
Notice how I got this here. As soon as I said ASP.NET 4,
yeah, it gave you
input 4, rather, it got that. That's just really nice, right? So I can go and fill out these forms really quickly, and I don't have to worry about it. That's going to happen on the server side. Okay, so then we'll say a label. And this is a label also for
the customer.
Customer's name,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. And then we'll say maybe another div. And then within there, we'll have an input for customer name.
And then you're going to do the validation again,
yeah,
right?
I'll do some, I can do validation two different ways. You know, I can do the validation summary. Or we can do it like this, which is nice.
And what are the key differences?
This one is you have total control of what it looks like. You can put it anywhere, up or down.
Okay.
And this is just a bulleted list that's a roll-up
okay.
of all of the stuff. Totally up to you how you want to do things. This is all inside of a form, right?
So you want to save it, right?
Yep, we're going to need a save button, exactly. So we'll put our button at the bottom. And it's just a regular old submit, nothing fancy about it. And it'll say save. But we're going to want to load this up
mm-hmm.
and save it and have validation. We've done all that very nicely like this. And we just want to confirm, like you said, on the back end, that we do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So on the get, actually, let's do this. Let's run it first, and then we'll try it again. Because right now, we haven't hooked anything up. We haven't got it from the database. We haven't updated it from the database. But I would expect the links to at least work.
Yeah.
Because now there is an edit page. If there's not, then maybe I forgot something. Okay, look in the corner there.
Okay.
It's kind of hard for me to do that. I can take a screenshot. I can't really take a screenshot. Let's do this. I'll take a snipping tool. Give it a delay of 2 seconds.
You're that fast?
I am. Huh?
Oh.
So edit/1, right? So the route got built by the fact that it was at the edit, and then you had added that ID at the top there. So this is nice because we didn't have to hard code what a link looked like. That's really
yeah.
important. We said, make me a link that takes me here.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't say, make me a link that looks like this.
No.
So that's nice.
That's
and if we changed
clean.
Our things later, then it would change for us, which is nice. So here, if I click on that, I assume it'll just do, yeah, nothing. So it's like, I don't have anything there. It doesn't know about customer yet because we have the bind, but we never loaded the customers. So let's go and do our stuff again. We're going to have our action result. And here we're going to say on get, of course, int ID. Mm-hmm. That's going to get passed in automatically because of the way we set up our routes, which is nice. So by default, we'll just return to the page. But here, we'll say customer, the one above. Go and get it from the database.
And find it, okay.
Yep, so find async, kind of a standard thing. You could pass in more complicated queries and get it other ways. If it's null, freak out, right?
Yeah.
If customer equals null, I don't know. Let's put them back to index.
It's customer, right?
Yes, pardon me. Customer. Okay. Redirect. Oops, redirect to page index. A lot of typing, but we don't want to hide anything from you.
Keeping it 100.
We are absolutely keeping it 100. So this should load that up and give us a form with the customer in it. Let's see if it does, because we added that bind property, which you said, what did you call it?
Surviving the journey.
Surviving the journey. You saw that Idris movie where they survived the journey. Don't tell me what happens at the end.
So at the end.
I don't want to know. Okay, and then I hit edit, and then it works.
Exactly.
Right?
So what happens if you change it?
If I change it, probably nothing. Right? So we don't have our post.
Exactly.
Exactly. So we've got our get. We don't have our post.
You could kind of copy that.
Yes, I could. I thought there was a way. I think there's a way to actually generate that whole thing quickly. But we'll say on post async. All right. The very end, we will do that redirect
to the index page.
To the index page, exactly. Okay. What do we do? Well, we've got that model state valid issue, right?
Yeah, so like if not model.
Oops, not model state is valid.
Yeah, we want it to return to the page.
Okay. Ah! Page. See? You try to type too fast to impress people and it just ends up making you look silly. Okay. Now this one's an interesting one.
Because you want to attach it to the database. Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're modifying something that's already in the database. So what we're trying to do is take this customer that we are we're currently editing.
So it's in the current state. Uh-huh.
Attach that customer and the state of it in the database, we're going to mark that as modified. And this bit here,
it shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I don't want that. Oh, so I'm going to go and add the using statement. There we go. Now it's turned blue. Okay. Now, we don't know if it's going to work because someone else could be simultaneously editing at the same time.
Exactly. So you want to do a try and catch.
And do a try. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. And the exception that we're going to catch for is called a DB update concurrency exception.
So just in case someone's doing it.
Someone's in there at the
exactly
same time or it's gone
what it
or
says.
Whatever. You know,
okay.
That's exactly what it is.
So you're going to wait for changes?
Mm-hmm. We're going to go and wait and say save the changes async. And presumably that'll work fine. If it doesn't,
went through an exception.
Now, there's different arguments about the right way to do this, but for now, I'm going to go and say customer, and this is kind of cool, customer.id. See how I'm getting IntelliSense inside the string. We can do whatever we want to about that concurrency exception, but and maybe even pass it in as an inner exception, but the fact is, actually, that'd be a good idea. We'll pass that in along for the ride. We want to give a message to somebody that bad stuff has happened. All right. That should be, I think we've almost got CRUD, don't we?
We do. Mm-hmm. We've done the create.
Let's go see. I think the create was a post.
Yep.
The read is the for loop. The delete was also a post, but with a delete sidecar along for the ride. So create. Dan. Oh, breakpoints from before.
Oh, yeah.
I will remove those.
I think you still have, okay.
Continue. We'll bump into them if we have more. Fancy pants.
Beyonce.
Oh, that's a good point. Edit.
Carter.
Carter Knowles.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. Delete everyone else who's not worthy. All right.
Oh, so.
See? It works.
It does work.
And there you go. Taking care of business. Cool.
So let's think about that.
So that's pretty sweet.
It is.
If we go back and just kind of review, particularly this bit here, we've got our edit.
Mm-hmm.
With the route ID where we did not say
how the link. So what file are we looking at right now?
I'm sorry, this is index.
Okay.
Right? So here we got an edit. I want to point out how it looks in the code and then compare that to how it looks ultimately in the code, right? When it makes it all the way back to the browser. See?
It's edit.
So that came from this. Now, this seems like a lot more. You might be asking yourself why you don't just hard code that. But routes change, pages change, things get moved around. Now, this one's a little bit more interesting here because you might have multiple buttons on the page that do different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can give them a handler name. Right? I could have delete. I could have boldface Beyonce. I could have all caps.
Yeah.
Right? We could have whatever. You're not limited to one button.
Ooh.
The submit button can have multiple submits, still pass in numbers, like in this case ID.
Yep.
And this is an ampersand.
Yep.
Multiple handlers, delete, promote, whatever.
Save whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And what's cool about that is that then that word delete, we look at the behind, is this word. So
that
I think you could even go like on post foo async or whatever, as long as it lines up, because you're saying on post and then some handler.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
That is.
And that handler is like literally you could say, let me stop our debugging here.
You're going to try the foo?
Right, like it could be whatever, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
That word is totally up to you. So I don't need to test that. You just trust me. You don't trust me?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's test it then.
Okay.
Let's test it. That gives you a lot of flexibility with buttons. So I say foo right there. Go over here. We say foo. And there you go. So while that's loading, what were you gonna say?
No, I trust you. I trust you-ish. I also
trust you-ish?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'll take that. Let's go and add people.
Okay.
That was foo.
How did foo know it was delete?
Because it doesn't matter that it was named foo. It's just a handler name. And if we confirm it, did I pass it?
No.
Oh, this is create. Sorry. There you go. There's a delete.
Mm.
Okay. See, it says handler equals foo.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes.
And then I just happen to name this handler foo also.
Yes.
So the point is, it lined up. And that's how you can have unlimited verbs. And then at that point, it just did the thing and removed it from the database. Cool?
Cool.
So we saw lots of different handlers like gets and posts and custom handlers like delete.
Yep.
We saw some tag helpers that will generate buttons and links for us. We saw layout pages.
We saw validation.
We saw validation, both summary and individual.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah, we looked at a little bit about routing in a little bit more detail.
Mm-hmm. We saw routing, and then specifically, actually, one thing that would be worth pointing out about routing as well, if I click edit, I shut the app down again. You had said int, ID colon int.
Yes.
Where int was, a number, correct? It would be interesting to just confirm that if we put in submit query, edit, she is 1.
Yes.
Put in a ID that is not an int.
You should get a...
You specifically get a 404. You don't get a 500. It's not an error. It's a route that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
We don't have an edit that takes a string. So that's another really, really important thing to point out about routing and why that little bit up there was so significant. And then soon in the intermediate sections, we will learn a little bit more about web APIs and URLs and mixing and matching pages as well. So
yep.
We take a short break and come back with a little bit of logging?
Yes, we will.